Welcome to Do a Blessing CNS Church London's podcast, sharing the good news weekly. We hope you are blessed by today's message.
We are talking about in the service of the ancient one, When you say something is ancient, basically it's old school. It's long gone. It's not relevant. So you know when something is ancient. But yet, you would see, especially the person that really brings this to light is Daniel. And the way Daniel will put it, Daniel will start off by, let's just read, I think most of it is in Daniel chapter 7. He said, in the vision at night, I looked and there was before me one who looked like the Son of Man, coming in the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days. And he was led into his presence. He was given authority, sovereign power, and all the nations of the people and every language to worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. What does that mean? It sounds contradictory. Because what he's saying is that even though this is ancient, his relevance is throughout generations. So now the thing is that God helped to kind of, you know, share this a little bit with the choir, and I think I shared it a bit with the prophetic team at the seaside. Is that when you are so, the Bible is bringing two things together. It's saying the one you are worshiping is ancient, but if it's relevant. It still relates into the present thing. Now, for you to understand that as we go through this thing briefly, is that when you are serving the ancient, an ancient being, you need to understand who he is to serve him correctly. That is why you would see, I shared this early this morning, it is not every offering that God takes. And the problem about, and we'll definitely get to that, but, and you would see that the Bible also uses another ancient word for someone. In the book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 2, the Bible says that, it says, he sees the dragon, that ancient serpent. So what he's saying is that, what I'm trying to say, you are dealing with two ancient entities. You are dealing with two ancient entities. But one of the things that the devil would make us believe is that everything is still new. So people are there are new inventions coming in. And because what we have taken our mind off is what Daniel said, that even though he's ancient, he's still relevant throughout our generation. So you begin to see that new ideologies of worshiping God begin to come in. New invention. And what the devil wants to make you think is that you are living in such a unique generation that what is happening to you has never happened to any generation before now. Do you know that in the days of Paul, the worship of idols, there was a sexual worship of idols where people come to in Rome, where people come and they have sex in public as a worship to God. So whatever you are seeing as pornography now, it's not
now.
But you, what the devil wants to make you say, you are living in a very separate generation. That you know, someone will say that, this world that we are living in. Even if Joseph lived in this kind of world, he would have. Have you had that kind of theology before? So you would see that Israel will always fall into this. You have it in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 17. The Bible says that they offered sacrifice to demons which are not God, the gods that are not known before, to the new gods that only arrived recently. There's somebody that calls them Awolowo Sheshedi. I don't know if you heard that word before, Awolowo Sheshedi. They just newly arrived. But he now said that to the gods their ancestors never feared. What he's saying is that they may appear to you as new, They are whole. They are ancient. Your fathers dealt with it. So even though they are introducing themselves to you as new arrivals, he's saying, no, they are ancient. Your fathers dealt with the same issues before now. Your fathers dealt with the same issues before now. We're still trying to. One of the things that you will always see is that the aim of the devil is always to make you feel that there is new inventions in the spirit world. Whereas when it comes to spirits, they are ancient. We will get to that. I just wanted to. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 6:16, it said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand by the road, look, ask for the ancient paths." So he said that there is a path to God that's ancient. It is not modern. It is ancient. So he says, where the good way is, and walk in it. He said, and you will find the rest for your souls. But you will say, nah, we don't do that. Our old school stuff. But you will say, we will not walk in it. We will not walk in it. Now, one of the things you would always see I shared this a little bit this morning, is that spirits have, the reason why spirits have universal rules is because everything is created after God, in the image of God, in the first instance. They lost their position, but they're created in the image of God. So just as the spirits still maintain certain features that they gained from God, so you will see that there are certain things that they do that sounds, that look similar. One of the things you would always see that spirits would demand is sacrifice. That is why the Bible would say that those who worship God must worship, for God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you are worshiping a spirit, what they would demand of you is sacrifice. That's why you will see all through the Old Testament, even to the New, the sacrifice, even God Christ was a sacrifice. Now, why do spirits demand sacrifice? Because it is not normal for human beings to give sacrifice. Your flesh wants to please yourself. You want to enjoy life. But spirits will say that no. Because that is the currency that they get. So, I'll give an example. That is why you would see at times God will wake you up in the middle of the night to pray. Not that you cannot pray in the middle of the day, it is when that sleep is, you will not say stand up and pray. One of the things that is that, and I will explain this even more. I'm not talking, about money. Well, you see, what the demonic powers will do is that they will introduce liberty, as it were, and say, it doesn't really matter. So they will define a God for that person that allows them to do as they please. The aim of God you are supposed to worship a God you are created in his image. But what the devil wants you to do is to worship a God that's created in your image. He said he created them in his image and after his own likeness. So people will now begin to worship God that they like, rather than who, God is. So somebody is annoyed at this person and you believe that because you are annoyed, God is also annoyed at that person. What is that? It is God after your own likeness.
True.
You have defined him according to that. Something is popular and you think that God is interested because you love it. You say, once I'm around that thing, it makes my body. I just feel the spirit and you think that is God. You have created a God after your own image and after your own likeness. So the intention of God is to worship one that is you are created in his own image. So what I'm trying to say is that one of the things you will begin to see is the allowance. What they will do is that they will introduce an allowance in the way you worship that God. So the devil will allow you, will say, ah, no, you can do. God is not difficult. There are certain things you don't need to do. Okay, let's go to Exodus. Is it Exodus or where? No, let's just... amen. The Bible says, okay, yeah, let's go to that Psalms. The Bible says God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. Now, the point is that now people now, the God you would, a man will form is the God that will do what pleases you. He will not be a God that does whatever he pleases. So, God grant us grace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm trying to define an ancient for you so that I'm trying to say, you know, okay. So the Bible says that, he said, but they will create idols, a man's hand works. You will see that those who create them will be like that. That's what the Bible says. What he's saying is that they have created a God after their own likeness and they are now worshiping it. Let's come on, please. Just go on to. So God said, let us create man in our own image after our own likeness. He said, not physical, but spiritual personality and moral likeness. So when you are worshiping a God, he's functioning according to the way he feels, not according to the way you feel. No matter how spiritual it is, that is why, if God were to, when Jesus was crying in Gethsemane, God should have said, okay, don't worry, I can go. No, because he's not created in that way. So even when he's shedding blood, heavens was standing and looking. Amen.
Amen.
I thank God for, first of all, touring. Confirmation before I speak, because he probably knows that he will struggle. Let's go on, please. Just wanted to show. So you would see in Exodus, the Bible says that now Aaron fashioned gold from their hands, and he fashioned it into a graven tool and made a molten calf, and he said, "This is your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Did they not know that God, the God? But why did people accept this God? You will see the reason later on. Is that because he allowed them to do whatever they pleased to do. So you would see, they said, now Aaron saw the molten calf and proclaimed, tomorrow you shall do a feast before the Lord. Yes, yes, ma'am. The Bible says they got up early the next day. These things are very exciting to do. He said they got up very early the next day and they offered burnt offering and brought peace offering and they sat down and eat and drank. They got to play shamefully without moral restraint. There was no restraint in what they were doing. So that kind of God is a God that people invented by themselves. Because there is no control. That is the God that I worship based on the way I feel. And that God is a God invented according to my likeness. We talked about Moses. Moses. Moses was 80 plus. And God would say to him, go to the mountain, come down. Go to the mountain, come down. Do you think that he was loving that journey at the age of 80? But what will someone say? Why is that God? See, God is not that difficult. And Moses would have said, it's not that complicated. Can you not see that my legs are aching? Can God not understand that I am old? I am getting to a point. That kind of God is a God that you created. So, hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to see, you will begin to see that the kind of God gives people allowance. It doesn't, see, a generation can pass without having a visitation of God. God doesn't care. See, you begin to see why. Because the standards of spirits are very different. Somebody would say, see, these are gods that people have invented according to their own imagination. Somebody would say that, why will God cannot just destroy, send all these people to hell? It's not possible. Did you not read your scriptures that he wiped up the whole earth? That same God, the God that you have created, is the God according to your own image. The God that will separate your family away from, God say, someone say, God say, this person is one saying, no, this person is my party. And you think God is looking after your party because. But those gods are gods according to your own image. So when God is raising a very strong issue of, let's say, immorality, and God says, I am going to deal with this, I'm going to deal with anybody that is illegal. And the way you see somebody that you are not in good terms with, you feel that, yes, the vengeance of God is coming to that person. And the person that you love, you feel that God will understand. That is a God after your own image. He has nothing to do with it. Was the same one that will sacrifice his own son. You need to think well. See, these are inventions that men have celebrated for too long. And God is saying, if that is the version you want to do, you can do it. These are versions of God that God taught him. I want you to know one thing. Okay, let me just put it this way. In the things of spirit, God will always give you options. There are grades of. So you had Moses. God was saying, these people are not going to listen. Moses said, God said, so I will not go with you. But I will send an angel. You will be seeing an angel. All your prosperity will come. Just go. But I will not go with you. What is God doing? God is saying, no, you will still have experiences. So you want your solution? You want to pray and have answers to your prayer? You want to do all of that? It's okay. You can get that. But what you cannot get is me as a person. So there are times when God gives you options. And you genuinely think that option is his best. We must learn to get to a point that even when God gives certain options, you will say no. Because, okay, God help me. See, God will say, okay, what do you want to do about this? Whatever option you take, he will accept. Do you think that if Jesus had said, God, I'm not going on the cross, you think God will force him? He will never. But he has lost an option. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So you will see that what they were doing, they were behaving, there was no restraint. Those kind of God allows you to do whatever it is that you want to do. So I can be preaching and at the same time be committing adultery. Those gods are inventions of men. I can be preaching and still be stealing money. I can be preaching and still be doing. Those gods are inventions of men. He hasn't done God. Say, your fewa. It is God that is created after your own likeness and after your own imagination. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord said to them, go down at once, your people. Basically, what God was saying is that they are not my again. They have become your property. Go and do whatever you please. Just tell them that. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. See, most servants of God at times are always in this position. I've seen situations some time ago. God asked somebody to do something in a place. Let's put it that way. God asked somebody to do something in a place. And the person was doing it. I started things occurred. And the person kept on doing it because, well, God has said I should do it. I'm going to keep to it. As long as I just come and do what God has said to do. In that environment, I knew that God was raging. But the problem now is that, no, for God said I should do it, I'm doing what God has called me to do. But actually, the rage of God was coming. So, for me to be sure, God now said somebody from Nigeria, get that person out of my presence. I said, hey, how do we do this now? And he said, okay, I give you grace. What grace means is that you know my position. You do whatever you want to do. That's what he said. So we have to ask, okay, God said that this person should not do this. Okay, I'll come before God an hour before that person comes. And just do what God has told that person to do. And so that we can manage the situation. That's why I said, it's not everything that, so the Bible says that moral restraint was removed. People are pleased to do whatever they want to do. Can I tell you one thing as we just quickly look at this, is that one of the reasons why God gives rules in an environment is so that to prepare you to be able to connect with His Spirit in that place. So you have wardens in the place that will say to you, sit down here, don't do this, don't do that. What He's trying to make you do is to, that rule itself. See, one of the challenges we now have is that people now begin to obey rules and forget that there's a spirit behind it. I'll give an example. You know, you have somebody who, okay, they tell you that, okay, let me use prophetic team as an example. We made the rule and we kind of joked about it. You know, we made the rule and we said that, okay, you know, if you don't come to Riaza, if you don't come to meetings 3 times a day, you will be exempted. Now, somebody can come and play that role and say, okay, I will make sure I come at least once. They are not broken rules, but they are offending the spirit. So rules are not necessarily, if you are in a functioning environment of spirits, if you are following rule, you are going to be in trouble. If you are following rule for the sake of, let me just do my own and leave, you are going to be in trouble. Because why? Because spirits can see beyond what you are doing. So you have, and that is why what that person was doing in their own mind was that I was doing what God has told me, but spirits can see beyond. And that kind of offering becomes forbidden before them. So when somebody comes, I know somebody says that there was a particular girl when the girl was in choir, so it was a wedding. So then when they do hallelujah, he will always come to the front and clear his throat and say, hallelujah. Because his aim was to kind of, to everybody, that person was keeping to lose. But as far as God is concerned, heaven is disappointed. I know somebody who worked at a place, and in that place, you have to serve in the church that holds that investment. Let's put it that way. And that person was served in that investment that company for 30-something years, or maybe 30 years, and they retired. We're going to that place of worship every single Sunday. The day they retired, they returned to their old church. Before God, that investment, no matter how active it is, he knows why you are doing what you're doing. So what I am sharing with you are ancient practices. These are not, let's just go on, please, because of our time. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Bible says that, that's why he said, now, all I'm saying to us is that the ancient, when you are serving an ancient God, they will make demands on your life that are ancient. It may not be things that are common in your generation, because that thing is ancient. So I'm going to just point out a couple of things. You would see that the Bible says that he said, out of Mount Zion, he said, but you will come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Now he's talking about church. He said, you have come to a thousand of angels in joyful assembly. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect. Now, I'm coming to that to bring you to certain points. Is that when an anointing at times is released on the earth, that anointing would remain for a long period of time. God does not revoke anointing. The person that carries the anointing, they die. But that anointing will be found on earth. Does that make sense? I'm going somewhere with this. So, if God is saying, I am calling you as I have called David. So what he's saying is that the unction I placed on David would be on you. Now, the thing is that for you to function in that unction, you must live the lifestyle that he lived. No matter how new generation you are in, you have, because that oil is ancient. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. So let's look at some biblical example. And I'll give you a very recent example. Let's look at my biblical example. And the Bible says that now, God wanted to carry people that walk with Moses. And God said, for them to be able to carry the burden of the people with you, I must take out of your spirit, out of the power of God on you, on them. Do you know what God did not say? God did not say, I will release a new power on them. He said, I will take out of what I have given you, so that they can carry it. What he's saying is that if they have to carry the same burden you are carrying, they must have the same option that you carry. Or else they will struggle. Somebody may believe that, choir master, it's just a normal thing. It's just knowing music notes and things like that. Yes, that is music that they put. But the one that will lead has to carry an option. The same from that person, from the person that is leading. That's why be careful under who you serve. God help you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is why you are sacrificing things to the little knowledge that I have. I'm begging God for windows of compromise on, not only for me, but for everyone that God has placed an option that is carrying one option to another. So, what I'm saying is that Bible says that it says, so that they can carry the body, I have taken off some of the power of the spirit that is on you and placed it on them, so that they can carry with you what God has called you to carry. That is why Let me just give you a very general example. You can see at times Baba Adeboye can come out of seclusion or prayer and where he's kept himself to pray. If he's going to preach and he's preaching, the interpreter at the time will be struggling. It's not that they've not been interpreting before. Baba will now look at that person and pray for that person. What he's doing is that he's carrying some of the option on them, or else they will struggle. It is not about, it's not that they don't know how to interpret. What is the big deal interpreting English to Yoruba or Yoruba to English? But the problem is that there is something that needs to be carried for them to be able to do that job effectively. That is why you would see that before Moses left, Moses had to lay his hands on Joshua. If God grants understanding, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So there are times that it is not, the Bible says Jesus, when Jesus was going to tell the disciples, there were so many people there. He went to the mountain to go and pray before he chose them. Because in spiritual work, it is not how effective you are. It is not knowledge. It is about the function you carry. To work in a house, you must have an unction to work in. God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. So he said that they will share with you. I'm coming with this with something for us to know what I'm saying. For all to be able to clear. Let's go on, please, quickly. Amen. Now, let's come to a bit of practicality. Or, a bit of getting closer to doing practicals. The Bible was talking about, he said, Elijah has died, and the Bible says, I will send Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So what he was saying is that before Jesus comes, I will send you Elijah, because the only person that is coming after Malachi is Jesus. So let's go on to John. Is it John or Luke? The Bible says, now this is John the Baptist. He says that for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his birth. He will bring back many people of Israel to the Lord. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. So what does that demand? That demands that the kind of lifestyle he would live has to support the lifestyle of the unction he's carrying. So what happened? He was removed from people. He was living in the wilderness. Because the unction of his life made a demand on him. If you are carrying an ancient unction, you need to learn to live a lifestyle that pertains to that. Or else, it's going to be trouble. So you see here that he said, and I will come to this place of drink. He said he will not be, but he said he would come. Please know that God has said he will be great in the sight of the Lord. That is God is saying, this is what I want to do. But these are the demands that come in association with that option that is coming. So you would see that when Jesus was going to say, let's come on, please, when Jesus was going to speak, Jesus said, Jesus went on to say, I can compare the people's generation and things like that. But let's go to verse 33. Jesus said that, for John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, you say he has a demon. What Jesus is saying is that it's a public notion that this guy does not drink. Are we together?
Yeah.
So, what I'm saying is that the unction of his life placed a demand on him. Now, why is Jesus pointing out the issue of wine? God has said in Leviticus that all the children of Aaron should not drink wine. And John the Baptist was given back to by a priest. What does that mean? That in his generation, all the priests are drinking wine. But they were still functioning. Because this one, no, even though everybody is doing this, you are forbidden. Why? Because you are carrying an ancient option on your life. Does this make sense? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to speak to something. And I take a cue from Jesus. Is that when events happen, Jesus could use that event to make it a teachable moment. Are we together? So you had people who were worshiping in the place and they all died. The pillars of the temple crushed them. So Jesus used that event to teach the people. I said, do you think that those who came to God to serve him and the whole place crashed on them, do you think that you serve a better God than them? Does that make sense? Okay. So that is the reason why I want to go down this route as I come. Wanted to bring this to clarity for you. Now, I am not discussing who killed whom or who didn't kill anybody. That's not my discussion. Talking about who bad. I am not talking about the merits or the demerits of the case. So I am neither talking about, I want you to see what I'll help you now. What I believe in the spirit, what they see, what has happened. It is different from our version of what is going on. And I'll link it to what I'm saying for you to get what I'm saying carefully. There was a man, a prophet, that was doing a live broadcast. He brought a guy in who was living in the same area. The guy is a gospel singer. I don't know if you've seen his father sing before, Boba's father. He does. He's a gospel minister. Now, the boy said, now, please, I don't say that Boba's dad has done well or he hasn't done well. Those are human errors and whatever it is that he's doing in his life. But the guy said, when they normally go for ministration, he goes to Mubarak's dad and they pray for him. He prays for them. Don't worry, your mommy, don't worry. And he will say that my child is struggling where he is. They are not treating him well. He said, but I know that is not the path that God has called him. He said, God has called him to be with you. He said, but just please keep praying for him that one day he will come back home. Not come back home, come back. So somebody knew that there was an option on his life that was different. His mom gave an interview on TVC. Forget about God, Ilel. I'm not here to talk about Ilel. His mom said on a Sunday, his dad's sister, now I think they're white garment kind of people. His dad's sister came to see her Sunday morning and said, then his sister was still 1.5 years old. He said, God said, a child is coming. He said he would shake Nigeria. He would hold Nigeria to ransom. He said, he shall be my servant. And he said, so call him Iretioluwa. That's why when you see his name, that's what I'm saying. So there was an unction on his life. But there was a demand to live that life. So his mom would say that even since the last week before he died, say when at times when he comes and complains about you, say, ah, but you know, I know that this is not what God has called you to do. He said, but we know that one day you will come back. He said, he will smile. The hold he's holding on Nigeria now is because he has left his physical body and he's seen the enormous and investment of God in his life and he's shaking the nation. What has happened is that an ancient auction was on him and the devil would draw him into the place. So what they did is simple. A bomb that is expected to blow up in a place, they now took it to a controlled environment to go and detonate it. So whatever it does there is limited. The worst you will do is, which is right, in my opinion, you lock up lock them up and things like that. But to everybody, everyone say justice is served, but according to heavens, it is not. I'm telling you that, that's why I brought it there. It is not, you can, but everybody will say, no, he's doing well. He's doing well. He's topping charts. Because that is, but those who knew, you are just knowing him now. Those who knew him that God has spoken to before his birth knows that what happened was that he had an auction, but nobody guided him to leave a life that is worthy of the auction he's carrying. When would that come again to Nigeria? I don't know. That's why I said integration can go to waste.
Okay, it's not.
The Bible says that in the gathering of Christians, there is always ancient auctions. That's why the Bible says the spirit of just men lying around on people. The question is not that, I saw a light in my dream. The question is that, are you prepared to live that life that will carry that option? I don't know. I'm just telling you what I can understand from what people, from what, not the ones that they said before anybody knew him. The grip will be released on Nigeria because there's nothing else. But the shaking was not the shaking. If you carry an option that is ancient and you are not ready to live a disciplined life to carry that option, we did not take it outside to go and explore. Because when he was trying to take himself away, you know, somebody, that was a comedian who's a pastor, who was saying that he had a dream and he saw him. And he said he made a statement. He said when he saw him, he said one of the things he was saying to him in his dream, he said, I wish I had somebody that would nail me down and say, no, you are not going that path. This is the path you're supposed to go. The world will celebrate for what is happening. An auction was released into a nation. But the ones around them, it's hard to tell them how to carry the auction that they carry. People will say, his songs are prophetic. Why would it not be prophetic? It's an auction that is working. This is not the first time. God, they took Samson and they took him out of the house of God and brought him to the midst of the Philistines to begin to crack riddles for them. Say, that guy is intelligent. That is not the place you're supposed to use it. May God grant us understanding.
Amen.
Like I said, I leave the rest to the best of Nigerian police to sort out. Amen. If you are carrying an auction, and like I said, in the church, God will, there will be enormous auctions going on. Why? Because there are spirits of just men that are always flying around one generation to another. So when he gathers them into the church, one of the reasons is so that that thing may remain in the place where it can be molded well. But what devil want to do is take him out or her out. Say, my boy, don't worry. So this guy was, God had to go to, let's go to Leviticus, please. The Bible says that, said, then he said to Aaron, you and your children, you are not to drink wine or fermented drink. But when the generation that John the Baptist came into, all the priests were drinking wine. And he could have said, what is the big deal now? People are doing it. Why am I so different? Why is it that he sees that when he gets to me, my horn is always different? Yet there is a tussle between one ancient and another, trying to find where. So what the other one introduces is saying, live the way you like. The one God understands. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, almost, let's just come on, please. Amen. All what we are saying, just as we look at. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. The Bible says, I have charged this charge against you. You have left your first love. You have loved the depth of the Lord, love that you had for me. So remember the heights you have fallen and repent. He said, change your inner self, your whole way of thinking, your sinful behavior, and see the will of God. He said, and you will do the works you did at first. When you first knew me, said, otherwise I will visit you and remove the lampstand, the church and its impact. Now, this is talking as a church generally, but it could also be talking to an individual. What he's saying is that the lamp may still be shining, but it will not have impact. The impact that it ought to have will take it away. If you are ready, what are the two things as I close this? You are serving a spirit. And spirits demand sacrifice. David understood that. When David wanted to call, David said, I'll build God a temple. An altar. And I've forgotten his name. He said to David, don't worry. He said, take this land for free. And David said, no. We do not give God what does not cost us. Because he understood that sacrifices is the currency of spirits. That is why at times you will go on certain journey of prayer with God. Dedicated times, you begin to see that the fellowship increases because what you are giving is sacrifice. Your obedience to God is sacrifice. That is why when you begin to see that the more you are obeying the word of God, obeying scripture, it's clear that your relationship with God will continue to rise. What is happening is that you are giving sacrifice and is accepting it. So at times when, like I said, rules are there to make you, but behind that, there is a spirit. That is why you will see the company in the UK that is doing well, everything not good. They will say values, this, that. Let that same company go to Nigeria to come from Japan. The same people, you will see that the most of all those companies that are stealing crude oil from Niger and Niger and all these French companies go to their country. They are living by the books. But when they come to a place where there is no law, so the problem, what I'm trying to say is that laws do not change people. They only make you comply because there is a punishment at the end of it. And which is good, it makes everything look well. But when a spirit comes to visit, a spirit will look at the rules you're obeying and ask, why are you obeying it? Human beings will say, yes, the rules have been obeyed. But the spirit will ask, why? That's why he said, in human God, human beings look at their face, but I, God, will look at their heart. What he says, he questions why you're doing what you're doing. So please do not mix rules with spiritual things. Do not mix, you know, I've seen with time, I'm not saying that it happens. I've seen people that, you know, because they want to, because in the church they are in, the Spirit of God is quite, you know, he picks things quickly. People are given to pick things quickly. So what they will do is that they will not fornicate 2 weeks before they come to church. The day they fornicate, that they won't come, that week they won't come to church. Because they want the wind to have blown over it, blown it away. And you know what God will now do? God will now be faithful to not allow that any prophet pick it up. Because he sees that what you are doing, you are playing it. And the person will now fall victim of thinking, it's working. It's working. You now build a theology on top of that. Please, you need to understand that the way spirits work, the way God works is different. See, it may look right, but before God, it is wrong. No matter how ancient, how long that procedure has been going, it doesn't make it right. No matter how effective that procedure has been going, it doesn't make it right. Can I give you an example? Show me in the Bible where somebody has made a vow in public. Come and present your vow before God. Say to God, this is, you want to buy a speaker? You know, I said it last week. I said, nobody should write IOU. Write it to God, no, not to us. I vow before God and man that I will buy speaker, God will to clap. Vows are never said aloud in front of spirits. When Anna was going to share a vow, even Eli did not know. It was her that came to me and said, this is what I told God I'm going to do. But when you now write your vow and now put it on paper, I'm not chasing you. I said, vow. I'm just explaining. See, there are certain things. This is the concern I have. When spirits eat something, you will not know. If you bring a food before a spirit now to eat, you will never know if they hate it or not. So you can bring something before God and not accept it. You will not know if you don't accept it. You know that you brought something. That is why with God and with spirits, their rules have to be followed. No matter how nice that people may have now have added prophetic dimension to it. I said, no, so we make a sonny bag da. Oh, mutter, fetch in one drop. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm telling you how much certain things can look right to you, but they are forbidden before God. But we learn. I'm learning on. Show me one person in the Bible that made a vow before God and somebody else knew what he made a vow. These things are patterns of spirit. That is why when you go to Babalawo and they say to speak to you, they will tell you to whatever you need, because that is not spirit, how spirit work. You don't display as, you know, I am going to, before God and man, wow, vow, and also. Amen?
Amen.
God grant us grace in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The question that we are handing on is this, and I want you to listen to me. Am I prepared to live a sacrificial life that the unction that God has placed on me demands? And please, it is not money. It is a lifestyle. Let me run a check for just a simple check for you. So Jesus was telling to that man who had money. And Jesus said, the man said, I have obeyed all things. And Jesus, the Bible says Jesus loved him. And Jesus said, go and sell all that you have and come back to me. And the Bible said the man felt bad. Now, this is the problem, because when you read that, Jesus did not have a problem with the money. That was not the problem. The issue was that all that you have been praying to God for, let's say in your enemy has been omomi itore emoshe sin lo. Do you know when spirits want to run check, they will demand for that job? Because if all you are serving God for is to have a big ministry and anointing, if I'm fasting for anointing, God will say to me one day, God will say, okay, when the ministry gets to 10,000, we'll say, leave that ministry and go and sit in the bush. Why? Because the Spirit has come to find out what exactly. So the thing that you have been seeking God for, this is going to be proof that God is with me. If God now says that, I don't want that thing again. If you are serving God in order to be rich, and when you now have £10 million in your account, God says, go and empty it. That was what was happening to this man. He had been obeying God's rule in order to be rich. So that rich was the aim. And God has said, that end product is what I want. That end product, that is certain things that you cannot see. Some people are pursuing career to be powerful in life because they've been abused. Have you not seen people like that before? Say, I must get to the top of my career. Why? They've hated all black women. I will make sure that they see. And God will say, no, that is not how it works. That is how the world thinks. When you get there for my sake. So that when you see somebody who may not be of that race or that color, and they have a problem, God can lead you to that person to raise them. But if you are there on an agenda, you only follow that agenda. It will never be an agenda of God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let's rise up, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Have a blessed week.